Today, I'm going to go over Romans 3, and I'm also going to speak slowly so you understand me, okay? If you know me long enough, I know I speak too fast sometimes, my lips get in the way, so I'm going to try and talk very slowly as well. I want to first by giving honor to Pastor and his family for giving me the opportunity to come up here to speak once again to you guys, you precious people who I love and hold dearly to my heart. And I want to give thanks to my mom for everything. I don't know where she is, but wherever she is, I want to give thanks to her and everything. And shout out to Pastor Elijah for this jacket. He gave me this jacket a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to wear it today, so I wanted to give him a shout out. Thank you. I appreciate you, brother. So we're going to go over Romans 3. And a way for me to understand this story completely in the book of Romans, I had to go through like just the whole background story. So I'm going to give it to you real quick to try to stay with me. So Paul was formerly a Pharisee named Saul. He's a guy who despised Christians. We all know that, right? We all know that. Until he had a life-changing encounter with the risen Jesus. So from there on out, he traveled throughout the whole Roman Empire, speaking to people, building God's following, telling about, hey, guess what happened with Jesus? He risen and all that stuff. So he went around these little communities in the Roman Empire and built these followings called churches. And what he would do, he would occasionally write letters to these people, these Jesus followers, write letters to them, giving them advice, answering questions, and helping them to walk in their Christian faith, right? And if you go back to, and I don't have these scriptures, but you can go back on your own time and look up Acts 18, 1 through 2. It talks about the church in Rome, that it existed for a while. And it was made up of Jewish and non-Jewish followers of Jesus. And it also talks about how the Roman Emperor Claudius kicked out all the Jewish people from Rome. That's a buzzkill, isn't it? So he kicked out everybody. Until about 5 years later, the Jews that followed Jesus were allowed to return. And when the Jews came back, they found a church that wasn't very Jewish-like, according to their customs and their religious practices. So this caused some tension between the two groups. So people were mad at each other, okay? They argued that you should be circumcised, how you don't have to be circumcised, how you can eat pork, how you can't eat pulled pork. Do all this stuff, right? And we know this church is a church that loves pulled pork, right? Yeah, yeah. So they had all these arguments about all these different, should we celebrate the Sabbath, should we not, things like that. So Paul comes and writes a letter with the purpose of everyone becoming unified. He said, I'm tired of all this discourse. I want everyone to be together as one. And with that, with a hope that the Roman church would become a staging ground for his mission to go further west to continue his ministry. So this motivated Paul to write a full explanation of the gospel, the good news about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So he was motivated. And this letter Paul writes about is broken into four parts throughout all this, the chapters. We'll go into that later. But today, we're going to talk about one of the parts, the first part, which is chapters 1 through 4, and that is Romans 3. So first, let's discuss God's righteousness. It means he always does what is just and right. And secondly, he is faithful to his promises. Who's thankful for that, right? I'm thankful for that. So if we can pull up Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And I'm reading from the NIV version. What advantage then is there in being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Verse 2, much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. So the Jews were entrusted with the very words of God. They had a big responsibility, right? Big responsibility. They had a responsibility that no one else had. But they are all in the same boat. And again, on your own time, you can refer back to Romans 1, 18 through 32 for the sake of time. For when Paul goes into a retelling of Genesis 3 through 11, that all the Gentile world and all the nations get wrapped up in the same lifestyle of sin and the same lifestyle of selfishness and everything else. And Paul would say things like their hearts and minds are broken. They turned away from God to live a life dependent on idolatry, which is left as a people who are guilty. Then you got the Jews over here. that don't do anything wrong, they come over here and they're saying, well, good thing God chose us. Good thing that we don't do anything. Good thing God gave us his very words. And so we know how to live. We know not to eat pork. We know to be circumcised. We know to live by the Sabbath. And then Paul has something to say. He's like, hold on, wait. Okay, give me 1 second. Wait. And he says, you guys are just as guilty. Because if you look back in history, in the Old Testament, it says that Israel was just as sinful and idolatrous as the rest of humanity. And even more guilty, because they even knew better. They had God's word, so they were even more guilty, because they knew not to do the things they already did. So that shows that we are all in the same boat. So there are none that are righteous. None of us deserve it. So if we go to Romans 3, verse 10, and then later on we'll be skipping down to 18, but verse 10, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. When God finds none righteous, it is because there are none. It's as simple as that. God didn't accidentally skip over because he didn't see it. There was none that were righteous. There has never been a truly righteous man apart from Jesus Christ. None of us. If we go down to verse 18, it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that basically summarizes the whole thing. Every sin and rebellion against God happens because we have respect for him. I know that's pretty harsh to say, I know. Wherever there is sin, there is no fear in God. So Paul does like an x-ray of the human condition. And let's look at the human condition is sad when he examines all the people he's speaking to. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand our complete inability to save ourselves. Again, none are righteous. When God finds none righteous, it's because there isn't any. Again, like I said, no man is made righteous. But all the depression stuff is over now. That's not the final word. So if you go to Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and later I'll be reading 3:26. It says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Verse 26. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and he one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. The good news about Jesus is God's response. It's his response. Instead of holding humanity guilty, Jesus came and died for us on behalf of all people. People we work with, us, people we don't like, people we don't trust, people who we don't think we can trust, people who are better than us in our eyes. Everybody. Think of that one person who you is hard for. I'm not going to say you can't stand being around. That's really harsh. But that person you find it very difficult to be next to. Think about that one person. I know everyone has one person in their mind. He died for them too. Just gets you even more mad. Jesus took all the just consequences of our sins upon himself. And he overcame it all by his resurrection, which is available to all of us. Jesus became what we are so we might become who he is. So this is how God justifies those who trust or have faith in Jesus. And justification, which means to declare righteous. Through justification, we are given a new status, a new family, and a new future. With a new status, I'm talking about instead of us being found guilty, which we all deserve, God declares a person is in a right relationship with him, is forgiven. So you know if you're living right and you're living under God's covenant, you're good, as long as you're living by his word and you believe in his righteousness. And when I mean by new family, it means the person who trusts in Jesus is given a place among God's covenant people. So you got a spot. So if you believe in God and his word and you are under his covering and his life, death, and resurrection is available for you. And lastly, with a new future, which is a journey of life transformation by God's grace, just like Brother Roland was talking about. That's something to look for. Isn't that a great thing to look forward to? That no, when you're under God's covering, it's a life beginning of transformation by God's grace, which we still don't deserve. And this is all a gift. All a gift. All of these things about justification are God's gift to those who through their faith are in Christ. Now, this righteousness that God is offering us, again, is for everybody. There's not one person that you made eye contact with in any day of your life that didn't deserve it. Not one. So if we can go to Romans chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. And it says, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Verse 29, "Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too?" Yes, of Gentiles too. Verse 30, "Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, this righteousness," well, that was the verse, "but this righteousness is offered to both Jew and Gentile. Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, he is." So that he's not, so whoever we work with, whoever we're with, he's the God of them, like he's the God of us. "Not only is this righteousness available to both Jew and Gentile, it is also received the same way by both Jew and Gentile. Since one God justifies both Jew and Gentile, he justifies them in the same way, by faith and through faith." If we could all stand. And just to make it personal, one thing that I really appreciate about righteousness and studying this and everything like that, because in life I'm really hard on myself, and I'm sure others in here are too, are hard about the art of themselves, and then they mess up and do things. The one thing I am very thankful for is God's righteousness. That my righteousness is as filthy rags, as the Bible says. That nothing I do, no act I do, nothing I can say can make me righteous. But I'm thankful for a God who died on the cross when he didn't have to, when he had my name on his mind, and he decided to die for me so I'd have to pay the same price that he did. So I want us to pray, and I want you to be real with yourself, okay? Be real with yourself and be honest with yourself. If you have a hard time grasping this like I did with righteousness, if you still feel like you don't deserve it, and we don't, but if you don't feel like you can receive that righteousness, I want you to ask God to open your mind and open your heart and for you to have just a whole change of mindset towards what God wants us to think. Ask God to give us the mindset that he wants us to have, if that makes sense. God, I come to you today, Jesus, knowing that you're the God of everything, Jesus.